Okay, so Hapworth and Izzy are now about to start their date properly. They've spent the evening sort of getting to know each other. He's gotten to know her a bit from her performance on stage at the wine tasting event, and he's also gotten to meet her business partner, manager, chef, and now they're alone in a restaurant, and we'll see what magic comes. We chose an open table at Bijan's by the window. Almost simultaneous to our ascent, a harried-looking Teutonic cocktail waitress presented us with menus. Izzy excused herself to the ladies. Once she was out of the room, I illuminated my Timex with indiglo and took an inconspicuous glance at my wrist under the table. Tempus fugit. It was already after 1 in the morning. I was surprised at this late hour. I was still conscious. I'd subbed an 8 o'clock for Burkle, my grad student office mate. Taught my own classes, drank wine through the tasting and vodka at dinner, and hadn't even once needed to mask a yawn behind a gulp of water or a dissembling smile. But for most of the evening, I'd largely only needed to be responsible for a third of the conversational momentum. There was no falling asleep at the table now. Izzy and I, here, were officially on a date. Since deciding I needed to be on her television show in order to win her heart, I'd learned via Google about Izzy. I knew she was 32. She had, intrepidly, moved from southern Illinois to the city to take a job working the fine dining floor at Bistro Dominique, a position that came with a starting salary 4 or 5 times what I picked up at UIC, even after all these semesters of parsing flawed introductory clauses and indicting generalities. Within a few years, she'd seen her picture on the covers of Wine Spectator and Cellar Temperature, been profiled in a Times feature on rising young enological talent across the country, and received a James Beard Foundation Outstanding Wine Service Award years ahead of many of her significantly older and more experienced colleagues on the shortlist. All of this had brought Isabel Conway unparalleled acclaim and made her the object of food and drink bloggers' relentless, gossipy scrutiny. She'd want to know things about me, too. What would I share about myself? There really wasn't a lot to tell. These days, I mostly taught my English composition classes, languished in my office, and drove home in the Mustang I'd had since undergrad with a seemingly bottomless pile of papers to grade. I'd foreman grill some chicken. I'd eat alongside microwaved frozen vegetables. A glass of warm Cote de Rhone in hand, I'd watch the evening's Vintage Attraction rerun, recasting the day's failures with more fruitful outcomes, not in a classroom with my indifferent students, but at a dinner table with someone else, someone who'd get me, who'd inspire me, Sommelier Isabel Conway. Following the waitress's departure with our cocktail orders, Izzy asked, "So, what exactly is a conceptualist?" It took me a bemused second to recall that I had included a conceptualist among my other occupations when I signed my first email to her this afternoon. The eventual need to define the term for a date wasn't a surprise. My nerve.com grills, after a couple of dirty martinis and the opening statements, when things began to slow, frequently probed for clarity the vague occupation I'd listed on my profile. I'd produce my Rhodia, the pumpkin-colored pad in which I jotted my ideas, and share my favorite entries. I have a beef with you, civil procedure and steakhouse. For the Hitchcock fan who has a predilection for overly salty meats, pork by Pork West, where even the menu comes wrapped in bacon. Rawr. Hipster vegan, chic raw foods, screaming Howard Dean mascot. Sushi bar meets strip club, Pandora's bento box. Nobody in recent memory had received this with anything to suggest we might be kindred spirits. So, one of the sharper ones once asked, if you have no intention of starting the business, what's the point? What do you hope to achieve? I had no answer. This time I left the notebook in my messenger bag. Picture a tiny space, I told Izzy, like a New York bar, something you'd find in the East Village, but really concealed, hidden to keep the tourists away. Maybe only like 10 tables, mostly for 2 people, and a bar, but with only 4 or 5 seats. And all of the tables have little tea light candles. Nothing bright anywhere, everything soft. Romantic, she finished. That sounds like a perfect place for wine. Yeah, I said. I actually came up with this one tonight during the tasting, when you talked about the Zinfandel and the lava cake. Dimly lit, people sitting close to each other, she prompted, "What kind of food?" "It's a dessert place. Little pastries, petit fours, macarons, and hazelnut tarts." "And port," she added. "Do you have a name for it?" I beamed. That's pretty much how I always start. Remembering the instant it came to me, a moment in which I was gazing up at Izzy's electric performance, swirling my glasses Zinfandel offhandedly, almost, finally, nearly maneuvering with precision, brought a similar pulse. Her rapt eyes and mouth further swelled my heart. The captivated attention she paid me made me feel as though she were one of the audience, and I the one mesmerizing the room. "The naming is the best part," I was able to tell her in a steady voice. "So, what is it called? The suspense is killing me." "Monogamous."